Hello, my friends. If you've been feeling a little overwhelmed lately, know that you're not alone. It seems like we have more questions than answers these days, and we're all trying to do the best we can, but wondering what is best right now. Often we're having to make decisions quickly, and we just hope we're making the right ones. And it can be oh so stressful. But I'm continually reminded that the battle is hardest and most overwhelming when there's about to be a big spiritual breakthrough. We can forget that the battle is already won, and it's when the evil one is desperate and trying to convince us otherwise that he ramps up the fight. His goal is to discourage us, to beat us down, to convince us that there is no hope. But no one is stronger than our Lord. So let's take some time now to just step back, to lay our burdens aside. Let us pray. Dearest Lord, we claim your power with gratitude for all you've done for us. Keep us strong and firm and focused in you. Remove all stress and anxiety and keep us centered in you and your righteousness. Guide us and give us wisdom during this challenging time. Give us the energy and motivation and strength to do what you lead us to do, not for ourselves, but for your greater good. May all that we do honor you and be in accordance with your purpose and not our own selfish interests. But also help us to know the difference and keep us from caving, keep us from justifying actions that are not your will. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. And now let's welcome Nathan Drake.
O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Let's worship.
From 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Hear God's word. From Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. And because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction, you know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with joy, given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell you, turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. May God give us understanding. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. You know, Dr. Reggie Kidd shares a story about a father who attended his son's university graduation. After the ceremony, he proudly approached his son and he asked him, "So, what are you going to do with the rest of your life, my son?" And his newly graduated son smiled broadly and said, "Well, Dad, I've given my future a lot of thought, and I think I'm just going to head straight for retirement." Okay, now I guess most of us can certainly sympathize with that young graduate, but we also realize that to be responsible, we have to work for many, many years very, very hard before we can retire. And for some, retirement can mean you work even harder. Now, as strange as it may sound, that young man's attitude actually came very close to the attitudes of some of the Christians who were living in the first century. They became so zealous for Christ's glory and his second coming that they actually abandoned a lot of their responsibilities on how to live in this lifetime as Christ taught them to live. Paul reminded the Thessalonians that although they were right to hope for the blessings of Christ's return, they also needed to concentrate on their present circumstances if they hoped to receive those future blessings. In other words, they needed to live out their faith in this life, regardless of what the circumstances were. Now, there's no question that the Thessalonians endured so much suffering during their time, and they were severely persecuted by both unbelieving Jews and Gentiles. But as believers, they not only stuck to their beliefs, their faith and hope in Christ, they actually grew even stronger. Amazingly, the believers also maintained their joy, and they refused to give up, no matter what was happening. That's even more remarkable when you consider that there was great discouragement in Thessalonica. The false prophets had convinced so many in the church during that time that Jesus would be returning at any moment, but he hadn't. And so a lot of them were just giving up. With all that's going on right now, I guess it'd be easy for us to give up as well. But another story keeps coming to my mind. This one from Peter Hyatt's book, Eternity Now. He tells about a little girl who unbelievably survived a hurricane under impossible circumstances. Maybe you've heard this story. It was back in October of 1991, with weather forming the perfect storm. And there was a small boat that was carrying a father named John and his six-year-old daughter named Mary. And they were caught in that storm. Unfortunately, John hadn't checked the weather report when he and Mary sailed off the Jersey shore. And 6 miles out, he was shocked at how fast the winds were changing. Before he knew it, the boat had capsized, and there they were, both out in the water. On top of that, they weren't wearing their life preservers. They were still attached to the boat, which was being swept out to sea. Well, John realized that there was no way that he could swim back 6 miles to shore while holding his little girl. And the only way he had to save them was for him to swim alone. Well, luckily, they had a pool back at home. And Mary had had lots of practice floating on her back. So her dad told her, "Mary, you can float on your back as long as you want. Just float on your back, Mary. Float on your back. I'll swim to shore and get help, and I'll be right back for you." Well, 3 hours later, the Coast Guard found John. For the next hour and a half, as it grew dark, they looked for Mary in the midst of 20 to 30 foot swells. And then miraculously, the spotlight found her. She'd been floating out there on those rough seas for nearly 5 hours. Unbelievable, right? And here's the thing. When the guardsman later asked her, "Mary, how did you do it?" She said, "Well, my daddy said I could float on my back as long as I wanted to, and that he'd come back for me. And my daddy always says what he does, what he says. Well, Mary had the same kind of faith in her daddy that St. Paul saw in the church at Thessalonica. And that's exactly the kind of faith that you and I need right now. As King Duncan so well describes it, the Thessalonians had stayed in their power. And they had staying power. And that's so important in any task. Don't give up. Keep working. Keep loving. Keep believing. Keep floating on your back. And sooner or later, things will look up. With this kind of endurance, it's possible, of course, only if you have a reasonable hope that things will get better, right? And that's where Paul offers us a sense of direction as he talks about an endurance inspired by hope in Jesus Christ. And as we know, the early church suffered waves of persecution. Believers were imprisoned, they were thrown to the lions, they were burned in the emperor's gardens, and more, so much more. But no matter what, they endured. And why? Because they had a hope in Christ. They trusted that nothing could defeat them because Christ was with them and would never forsake them. And today, these many years later, you and I still have that same hope. And that endurance that inspired the hope, it's a choice. It's about choosing hope over fear, even in the worst of circumstances. Years ago, a film came out called Life is Beautiful. Maybe you remember it. It's a story of a young Italian Jewish father named Guido, who uses his hope and imagination to help his son Joshua survive their internment in a Nazi concentration camp. As King Duncan so well describes it, in order to protect Joshua from the horrors all around them, Guido convinces Joshua that it's all a game, that none of it is to be taken seriously. He tells Joshua that the ride in the truck to the concentration camp is actually a surprise for his birthday. He convinces him that the men in uniform that run the camp are not really bad, that it's simply how the game is played. He tells Joshua that if you complain about anything, even about hunger, you lose points. He tells him that quiet boys who hide from the camp and from the guards, they earn points. He even convinces his son that if he keeps all the rules of the game, he'll win a real life-sized tank. So, even though there is death and despair all around them, Guido's son Joshua sees only the beauty of life. Is that amazing or what? And Guido perseveres out of the hope that Allied troops will eventually come and rescue them before it's too late. He decides to communicate his hope to Joshua rather than his fears. And most of the time, it's an illusion, but it's the healthiest thing that he can do for his son, and he knows it. Well, eventually the Allied troops do come and rescue the boy. Unfortunately, they're not in time to save Guido. Guido is caught, he's taken away, he's shot by a Nazi guard, but not before making his son laugh one last time by imitating the Nazi guard as if the two of them are marching together around the camp together. Joshua manages to survive. And furthermore, he thinks he's won the game when an American tank arrives to liberate the camp. He's reunited with his mother, and he's literally saved by the power of Guido's hope. My friends, let's be honest. We all have our fears right now, just as those of every age have had fears of their own. Such is life. But we don't have to be owned by those fears. We too have a father that can be trusted and who always does what he says. A father who will bring us through all hardships and all suffering, who will shape us and strengthen us in the process. As we go forward, may our fears also be conquered. May our work be produced by faith. May our labor be prompted by love, and may our endurance be inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, and may nothing steal our joy. Let us pray. Oh, dearest Lord, on this day we claim your power with gratitude for all you've done for us. Keep us strong and firm and focused in you. Remove all stress and anxiety, and keep us centered in you and your righteousness. Forgive us, guide us, give us wisdom during this challenging time. Give us the energy and motivation and strength to do what you lead us to do, not for ourselves, but for your greater good. May all that we do honor you and be in accordance with your purpose and not our own selfish interests. But also help us to know the difference and keep us from giving and finding ways to justify our actions that are not your will. Lord, we know that it's so easy to follow the big, beautiful lie and ignore the small, ugly truth. Keep us from getting swept up in our culture and the lies that are passed down as truth. Keep us faithful to you in all we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My friends, we struggle in so many ways. And sometimes we make good choices and sometimes we make bad choices. But know that when we are honest with ourselves, when we confess our failings, we have a God who loves and forgives us. Know that indeed, in Jesus Christ, we truly are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Loving God, we come to you more afraid than we would like to admit. The fear of contagion surrounds us. The fear of economic hardship abounds. The fear that justice and reconciliation are impossible creeps into our consciousness even when we want to be a people of hope. As we continue to navigate the unfamiliar waters of a pandemic and the all too familiar storms of long entrenched inequity, we admit we are afraid. We name our deepest anxieties before you, knowing that you know them before we speak them. You tell us that even the hairs on our heads are counted, and therefore we pour out our hearts before you, trusting not only that you will hear our cries, but that you will answer them. hear our cries on behalf of the oppressed and the exploited. Let justice roll down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Hear our cries of lament on behalf of those whose losses are too many to name and too heavy to continue to carry. Give them your easy yoke and your light burden. Hear our cries of grief as we join with our siblings who mourn. Comfort them until they see you face to face and crying and death are no more. Hear our cries for the sick and the suffering, the lonely and the shunned. Heal them, restore them. Help us to seek them out and bring them home in your name. Hear our cries for those we love, those we are called to love, those we find difficult to love. Grant us your spirit of strength and wisdom so that we can live the commandment we know, the greatest commandment, to love you with all we have and love our neighbors as ourselves. Gracious God, we come to you now because you have assured us of your presence. You have assured us of your power working through us. In confidence that perfect love casts out fear, we commit to seeking to live with unafraid faith, proclaiming boldly the good news of Jesus Christ that will set us all free. We make our prayer in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
My friends, it's so hard not knowing the specifics of what lies ahead, of not being able to control things, of not being able to see our future, even as so many are struggling in so many ways. My prayer is that you will stay strong in the incredible endurance that was modeled by the Thessalonians and by so many others throughout the history of our faith. Know that you still have choices, no matter how powerless you feel. And among them, the choice is to stay strong. The choice to do all you do in love. The choice to endure. The choice to choose joy over fear. And now may you go in God's love, God's strength, God's mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. And God bless you.